This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
All right.
John has his midday dancer cramp. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I wouldn't touch that with the dentist.
There we go.
Especially where the cramp is. No.
Yeah,
dancer
really.
Cramp.
No.
There we
no.
go. It's dancer cramp.
Okay.
All right. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Talk over this. Oh, hi, I'm Dave Dufour, and this is Marcia Fulmer and John Shoup, and this is Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Thanks to you, we are all here at the Bristol Opera House doing a live episode. This is a live episode to celebrate our surpassing 100 episodes of this here crazy podcast, and we never seem to run out of things to talk about. But sometimes we do, but then we think of something.
Yes, we do.
We all go down to Evan's Sidewalk Cafe and we talk about what we're going to talk about. Then we come back here to the Opera House and we talk about it. That's right.
It's so, very involved. Process.
John's getting a cramp out here, so we're going to start our game.
Oh, good.
We are going to play everybody's favorite game show. I know. And our MC today, well, let's start with our quiz master, is Rick Ellis. Thanks, Rick, for being here. I also want to thank Joe Pulaski of Bandwagon Video for being our videographer today. And our MC for the game show today, I know, is Mr. Kevin Agelski, the ever-popular...
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
And by the way, we have an official photographer, too. I think he's
taking... Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I'm
Mel
sorry.
Moore is back there
Mel
taking
Moore
official
is
photography.
Back there, yeah. Yes. It's because Mel Moore is the quiet one. Yes. Mm. So we have that. We could do it. Why is Mel so quiet? I don't know.
Well, moving on.
I worry.
I get to play with my sound effects. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Agelski.
Okay. We have a little game here. We're going to call Stump the Guest. Get the Guest. We're going to draw a number out and have an audience member come up. You answer 10 out of the 20 questions, you will win a special prize. And Peter Baker is here to tell you all about it.
That's right. The special prize is Peter Baker's voice on your answering machine, BBC announcer.
Hello, I'm Pete Baker.
Remember to laugh.
Welcome to Theater Geeks Live at the Bristol Opera House. Today, someone in our audience will have a chance to play everyone's favorite test of theatrical knowledge. I know. And the winner will receive me. Well, actually, the winner receives a recording of me for his or her telephone answering machine. I'll be saying something no doubt exciting, such as, Judy's not at home. She's probably walking the dog, so please leave a message at the tone. Or, Fred had too many gin and tonics last night and can't get to the phone just now. Or, Susan's not available at the moment. If you are her ex-boyfriend, don't bother leaving a message because now I'm the fellow making her breakfast in bed. Anything you want, actually. And, of course, I'll do it in my best BBC Points West style. Have a good time playing, and best of luck to all theatre geeks.
Okay. And John, who are we playing for?
Well, we're playing for
we're
playing for a number who will eventually be a name. 1-8-1-9-5-8-7.
8-7.
Oh.
8-7.
That's
there we go.
Now that's it is a relative. Oh, it's my sister. So,
come on now.
Liz Shoup is up here and keep it, make it extra tough on Liz here.
Yes.
We're all a family. So, this is Liz.
Okay. Liz, here's your first question. Name the musical about four boys from New Jersey. Very good.
Yay.
This show is about the
Liz, would you please lean into the mic, Mark, because the studio audience may not
Jersey boys.
The answers. They might be taking notes in Pakistan.
Number two. This show is about the early years of The Wicked Witch of Oz.
Wicked.
Very good. Third one. Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical about a musical phantom who haunts the catacombs of the Paris Opera is called?
Phantom of the Opera.
Very good. This is a huge spectacle of a rock musical with hits from ages ago, like 1987.
Rock of Ages.
Very good. This is the inspiring and hopeful musical of Little Orphan Annie.
Annie.
Man, these are tough.
Not my favorite.
In this Beckett play, there is no character named Godot, but everybody seems to be waiting for him.
Oh, Lord.
Honestly, I do not know.
Who did these?
I'm sorry?
I don't know.
You don't know. You don't know Waiting for Godot.
Okay.
Okay. This musical tells of Roxy Hart, who murders her unfaithful lover in 1920s Chicago.
Chicago.
Yes, 1920s Chicago.
Chicago.
Okay. In this play, a young Laura Wingfield has a glass unicorn and a menagerie of other animals.
Oh, I give up. The glass menagerie.
Very good. This play delves into a woman's betrayal of her husband with his best friend. This play delves into a woman's betrayal.
Oh, geez, Kevin.
Of
betrayal?
Very good.
Hey.
Say big fish.
Big fish.
Very good. That's 10 out of 10. And from the props room, you get a pinwheel.
No, she gets Peter Baker's voice.
Oh,
that is the limerick. You gave away a prize there.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a wonderful voice on my answering machine.
Would you rather have this?
I'll take
we'll give
pinwheel.
Peter Baker's voice to our limerick spinner today.
Okay.
A beautiful pinwheel.
The wonderful voice on the answering machine is mine.
John's.
Okay.
That's all right. Dee Dee's is on mine.
Okay.
We all use other people's
That's
voices.
That's perfect. So congratulations, Liz. Thanks for playing.
Oh, really?
Okay.
That's terrible.
We have a special guest with us today, and she is a South Bend person, has been Indiana University South Bend theater grad, and has done a lot of work at our sister organization, South Bend Civic Theater, and then recently went to Second City to study improv. You're going to have to tell me a little bit about what that all entails, obviously. But I'd like to welcome Carly Barr, who is a student at the Second City Conservatory. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Welcome to Theater Geeks. Thanks for coming by. This is great. Great to have you.
Just to correct you, I graduated at IUSB in criminal justice.
Criminal justice?
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
So it was a natural segue.
That's right, a natural segue to improv. That's right. Yeah, Dave Kempfer might be able to tell you about criminals in improv, I suppose. I don't know. Yeah, that's great. What made you make that jump?
Oh, I was always interested in both, and I'm not crazy. Rick Miller is an FBI agent, and he does so many things at the South Bend Civic Theater.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of works itself together.
Not really, but you know what? You can have more than one interest, I guess.
Well, I'd like to should say one thing. Second City, of course, is not only a great – first of all, it's a great place to go for entertainment. It's not an expensive ticket in Chicago, really. And I really recommend anybody who hasn't been up there to go up and take in one of the several stages that they have up there for different improv shows. But how do you get involved in the conservatory and what's the process there?
Well, first you have to go through the classes for a year, A through E, or if you've had a year of any sort of improv experience, you can just audition for the conservatory program. Once you audition for level one, you go through level one and two, and then you have to audition for level three. I am right now in the audition process to get into level three.
Okay, level three is done. Now, when do you end up on one of the stages?
Oh, well, you can any time in the process, you can end up on one of the stages. You can audition for shows that are going on. There's writing shows going on. There's I was in coached ensembles. You just audition for that. You can do that in any time in your student year.
Mm-hmm.
And but to get paid to work at Second City, you have to go through the whole conservatory program, and then you audition for the main stage. And you can audition for the traveling company, just as long as you're part of the main stage company. That's basically when you're a so-called professional.
I have to look at your resume here, because you give me your skills, your general skills, and the first one on the list is whistling.
I wish somebody would teach me that skill.
Whistling, projecting, improvising, memorization, public speaking, clowning. You've done clowning.
I have it, IUSB.
There you go. Clowning, drawing, painting pastels. Reading comprehension. Does that mean you comprehend everything you read or that you could teach
that
it?
That is right. I comprehend everything
there we go. Okay. And yeah, color coordination. And she looks stunning. And crafts. So, yeah, and dialects. You, Chris. Now, is that something you continually work on, different dialects? You've got different accents and dialects.
Absolutely, yeah. You definitely want to gather as many as possible, especially for improv, because your partner can make you from any country they want you to, and you have to try it.
Okay.
Stay on your partner's
you
side.
You get stuck with that.
Somebody says you're from South Africa, you have to attempt a South African accent.
Wow.
Now, when you're doing a straight improv, they're kind of what are the rules of being involved in a presentation like that?
Well, the most famous rule that everyone will probably know is yes and. Basically, you have to agree with what your partner has given you, and you have to add to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, I'm pointing a gun at you. You can't say, no, you're not pointing a gun at me.
Right.
You have to accept the fact that I'm pointing a gun at you, and then you add to it, like, that's the gun I gave you for Christmas, or something like that.
Right, yeah. And it's a gun with a cork in it, or something, you know, that, yeah.
Yeah, you add whatever you want to it, and then I have to add to what you've just said, accepting that. And so that's the most famous rule of improv.
There's no game, no but?
There is a game, yes. but it's to teach you why yes and is so important.
Okay. So
the no but game gets you nowhere.
That's
nowhere.
Right. Yes, and I've done this with students in the intro to theater class that I have, and the tendency is that they want to rearrange the story that came before to suit where they want it to go. We do a continuing story thing where you have a story and you add to it. You've probably done an exercise like that.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for people who aren't used to it because they want, if you're a control freak, maybe improv isn't for you.
I would definitely say if you're a control freak, improv isn't for you. You have absolutely no control of what goes on mm-hmm. stage except for what comes out of your mouth. And that is directly based on whatever comes out of everyone else's mouth, so not really. You have no control.
Now, are the improv classes that you have, they're largely like exercise-based, but then those also become the basis for shows?
It depends on what level you're in. Level A, B, and C are basically exercises. You don't really get into deep scene work until C, D, and E.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you get to conservatory, it's all scene work.
Okay. Right.
What is it about improvisation, or I guess actors who are going through the improvisation process, either in a conservatory situation like yours, or something which may be just as valid, which is just local improvisational groups that are getting together and doing these games and things. But what is it that seems to be that this trend, I guess, for actors right now are coming out of these improv groups? Do you know?
I believe that it has something to do with when you start doing improv, it's not as hard as everyone thinks it is. It looks much more difficult than it is. And once you start doing it, you realize that this is something you can learn. It's a learned skill, and it's addictive, you know, because you have so much fun with your improv troupe, and you can play with each other, and you can set each other up. We call it pimping one another, where you say, well, this person's going to do a dance completely in sync with me, and then you have to try and...
Right.
And the audience loves that stuff, so it's very addictive.
So it's kind of... Maybe for actors, it's that freeing of the actor to do and to experiment and to just kind of reach without being afraid.
I think it does take a certain type of actor to like improv. A lot of people don't like not having a script. And I guess it does take a certain type of person, and everybody that I know that does it is very, you have to be brave. You have to just go out there and try to look a fool, and if you look a fool, your people are going to help you out. You know, if you mess up, you have all the support. Like the stand-up artist came up here and said that you have no support. That's what I love about improv, is that it's all cooperation, it's all teamwork.
So you, but there is an edginess to it. I mean, you are kind of on the edge of, you trust everybody, but maybe not with your life or.
Well, you have to trust everybody, which is, that's very important. But if someone, you know, if you're on the stage with just you and maybe someone who doesn't understand that you're supposed to accept, but I've seen groups where somebody was just a really terrible improviser, didn't understand any of the rules, mm-hmm. and the group lifted them up and supported them even so. And so it turned out really well, mm-hmm. and they didn't look as bad as they might have before. So it just, if you have some good improv people out there, then you're going to do well.
That's good. That's good. So you were going to show us a little bit, like an exercise possibly, which we need a couple of volunteers from the audience.
Yeah, one or two, if you, anybody
I
would
didn't
like
say
to.
So, yes. Raise your hands and come on up here.
Let's go with you and you.
In the front row here. And you can use that mic down there, Carly, is the one you should, the one that's on the stand there. Dave will get it for you. Yeah, if you want to sit, I was going to set them in the audience, or where do you want them?
Oh, no, we can just go back and forth like this.
Okay, great. All right, good.
Okay, this is called the alphabet game. And can somebody in the audience give me a letter in the alphabet?
U.
I heard U. And so whenever we mess up, what we do is we have to say a line with the alphabet. So, like, it'd be U, and then the next letter, and the next letter. Everything that I say has to start with that, and he starts with the next letter. If we mess up, I want you to make this sound. Can you do that for me? Isn't that a fun sound to make? So you want us to mess up, right?
Okay.
So we're going to start with U. And what we want to do is accept what we say, and we want to focus on our relationship, basically. Understand this, Jim. I want you two to get married.
Tanya, I don't want to marry her. I went the wrong way.
So what happens now?
He has to say the alphabet.
He has to say V now.
Vanessa, I don't want to marry her.
Whatever. I don't really care if you want to marry her or not, but go ahead and marry her.
Zena has a very good point there. She may not want to marry you after all.
You both want to marry me?
As why?
That's right.
Okay, so I'm confused.
Z.
You're Z.
Oh,
okay.
Zena starts with an X, by the way.
Okay. Thank you. That's why I was confused. Oh, my goodness. Zebras don't get married.
All right. Now, that is the best point I've heard so far. She's right, Todd.
But what if zebras did get married in this state?
Always look on the bright side of life.
The wrong way.
Where am I at now?
C.
C. Oh, my goodness. Well, cats get married sometimes.
Don't even suggest that. Cats should never get married.
Everybody knows that.
Oh. Fine, be that way. But I really believe that cats can marry.
Great, so we're not in agreement, but I still think you two should tie the knot. You're obviously in love.
How can you tell that?
I know you love me.
Just admit it. You love her more than life itself.
Karen, I don't love you.
Loser.
My, this has taken quite a turn.
Now let's just calm down, everybody. And move on.
Opal called you, didn't she?
Please, everyone here knows that you two are highly in love and that you should get married.
Quit saying that.
Right? She's right. You know she's right.
So, we are clearly at an agreement, right?
Trust me, I don't think we cleared up anything with this conversation.
Understand this. You know you love me. I love you. Opal can forget it. Just let's move on and get married.
Woo, so that's the end of the game.
There we go. That's perfect. That's great.
And leave the cats out of
now,
it.
Now, in addition to being entertaining, what are you trying to learn from that, or what was the actor trying to get out of that?
That game is mostly about listening and being on your toes.
Okay.
You know, you have to pay attention to what the person before you has said, and you have to directly respond to that.
Right. Okay.
And so it's about listening.
That's cool.
And that's one of the major things, if you go to an acting school even, that they teach, which is listen. And being on stage is what they say, isn't it 90% listening and 10% acting?
Reacting.
Or 90% reacting and 10% acting. Yeah.
Well, the audience likes that one, too, because they like to go, eh.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's one that they do that on the main stage even sometimes?
It is a game that is performed in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. The main stage is basically two sets of sketch comedy that they've taken from their improv.
Right.
And then one set of completely improv. And they usually do what's called a herald, which is where someone will come up and tell a story based on a suggestion from the audience, and then they will do a bunch of sketches based on that story,
right,
or, you know, kind of inspired by that
that's
story.
Cool. Yeah, that's neat. So you're going back to school, or you're in school now, so to speak.
At I'm currently. I mean, conservatory is technically classes.
Right, and now is that pretty much like a full time student, or are you working in Chicago at the same time?
Oh no, I definitely have a day job to pay the bills.
That's right. Now is the conservatory there on Wells, where the main stage is, or is it in a different location?
The whole Second City is in the same spot.
Yeah, and is the Second City is really the name of it?
Right, it is, and it's kind of making fun of themselves because New York considers themselves the better city, the first city.
Right.
So they just kind of poked fun at their own group and said we're the second city.
How long has the Second City been there? I know it started way back with Mike Nichols and Elaine May were kind of the genesis of part of it.
It was then, I don't know the exact year, but it's been in the same spot for a very long time.
Right, yeah.
Improv Olympics has as well. That's another... they're more of a long-form school.
Right.
And I'm really looking forward to going to Improv Olympics as well. And I'd like to plug my improv troupe.
Okay, good.
We are Sheboygan.
Sheboygan?
That's the name of it? We are Sheboygan?
Yeah. We literally pulled the name from a hat. Quite. We couldn't decide. But we are going to be in Sketchfest, which is the biggest sketch comedy festival in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be in January at Stage 773 in Chicago.
What? Now,
great.
Okay, is there a website people can go to find out about Sheboygan or Sketchfest?
Not Sketchfest, yes. You can just Google Sketchfest. Sheboygan is a brand new baby group that some of my classmates have brought together, and we're writing a sketch show as we speak. I'm going to be at rehearsal tomorrow.
Perfect.
And it's going to be good. We're funny.
That's terrific. That's great. Well, thanks for being with us, Carly Barr, and I appreciate it. And
yeah.
We'll look for you at Sketchfest and other things.
Thanks for having me.
What's up next, Kevin?
Okay, we're going to play a game called Limericks.
Limericks.
Okay.
We're going to get a member of our studio audience, and Marcia's picking one now.
I am.
We have a number, please.
And this person is going to get Peter Baker's voice on their answering machine.
It's 1-8-1-9-5-9-5.
Oh, uh-oh. Here we go.
That would be Jenny D'Addario,
yes,
everybody.
Jenny D'Addario. Recently appeared in our production of The Fox on the Fairway.
Yes.
There we go. The screamingly funny farcical comedy by...
I just put your butt away, by the way, just so you know.
What?
I just hung her butt up in the costume room.
Excuse me?
You know, I didn't...
She had... Never mind.
I didn't.
She had stuffing in the last show. Lots and lots of stuffing.
I don't want to get that explicit label on the podcast.
I didn't say penis.
I know.
Oh!
I didn't have one of those.
Yeah. I didn't either. Okay. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, on that note. Okay, we've got three limericks, and if you can complete two out of the three, you will get Mr. King's voice on your answering machine.
Mr. Baker's voice.
Mr. Baker's voice.
Mr. Peter
Baker.
Mr. King is no
Mr.
longer
King.
With us.
Mr. King, yeah, I'm sorry. I have a dream.
I can say a Peter thing, but I won't.
Okay.
I'm very nervous.
Oh, well, God. Calm down. Here's
You're
your first
one.
You're
not the only one.
Young and sweet, only 17. Feel the beat from the tambourine. You can dance and jive, the time of your life. That girl, she's the dancing...
Queen.
Queen, very good. Next one. As long as God can grow it there, shoulder length or longer wear. It can fly in the breeze, get caught in the trees, give a home to the fleas in my...
Hair.
Yeah, that's it. And your last one.
I'm done. I got two.
Yeah. Think of Elsie to this day and remember how she'd say, start celebrating, your table's awaiting, old chum, life's a...
Cabaret.
Oh, how appropriate.
That's three out of three, and you will be getting Peter Baker's voice on your home answering machine.
There you go. So just stick around. Give me your email address and what you'd like on that answering machine message. And we'll
I want
get
the one about the ex-boyfriend.
There you go. Whatever you would like, and it's as long as it's not more than 20 seconds or so.
Thank you.
There we go. I only pay in for a minute, and I got to get three of them. Okay. Just kidding. Anyway.
No, you're not.
Next time, I'm not. Okay. That wraps it up for here. Thanks again for Carly Barr for being with us today.
Thank you, Carly.
And Thank you very much to Joe Pulaski for video, being our videographer, Mel Moore for taking pictures all over the Opera House today, and Rick Ellis as our quiz master.
Yay.
Many thanks for doing this again for us. Ring that bell, sir. There we go. And to Kevin Nagelsky for being our MC. Be sure to stop by the website to listen to the podcast and also go to our store, theatergeeks.com/store, where you can buy all sorts of fun stuff like hats, cups, mugs like this one right here, and other stuff, including my favorite, the clocks. There are some Theater Geeks clocks that you can order that are really actually not even all that expensive.
Underwear.
Hang them on your wall, and they will remind you of Theater Geeks, and
Underwear.
You'll never forget our website and all that kind of good stuff.
Underwear.
And John likes the underwear. Okay. That's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shout.
God help me. I'm Marcia Fulton.
Underwear.
And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.